This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday. Oh my goodness, you have done it. Celebrate. Reach around and pat yourself on the back. You have made it through the week, and it is a wonderful Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we are going to have such a good time tonight. I asked, because I'm playing hurt with a cold, I asked for great questions, and wow, did you deliver. And I don't even know where to begin. We're going to talk about the origins of communism. A kid has a question about that. We're going to talk about them thinking like you should use your abilities for their revolution. There are food questions. There are history questions. We're going to talk about terror attacks. I mean, it's all over the place coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I actually want to begin with this question because there's a video out there. Maybe you've seen it. If you haven't, it's not important. Don't worry about it. But there's a video out there of an Antifa guy in Portland who got arrested. I'll get to that situation and what happened there in a moment and in the aftermath. But the question of this one goes back to Rittenhouse. Jesse, one thing that continues to bother me about the Kyle Rittenhouse shooting, from what I could see in the video, those BLM protesters who saw that Kyle Rittenhouse was carrying a gun ran towards him and chased him. Usually people try to get away from a guy with a gun. What made those guys chase him? What was at work in their minds? Okay. Now, we're not going to talk Rittenhouse or that night, but I'm going to answer the question talking about something that just happened. This was yesterday, maybe the night before, something like that. As you know, right now, the Trump administration, they have announced and they are doing it. They are surging federal troops into Portland, Oregon. I don't know if you've ever been to Portland. I have. My sister went to law school up in that area. So I've been in the Portland actually multiple times for various reasons. But Portland used to be a stupid cool city. Always a little left, right? Always leaning a little left, but so freaking gorgeous. When you fly into Portland, you'll see what I mean. You get to experience this day if you ever fly into there. You fly in right over the river, and it's just beautiful. Beautiful, cool weather, green, awesome. But Portland, like so much of Democrat America, went from Democrat, a little left, to Karl Marx, Vladimir Lenin. And the result of that has been disastrous, nothing short of disastrous. Homeless everywhere, filth everywhere. And I'm talking, this is such a beautiful, cool place. It's just disgusting now. And it has become really, trying to think, I would probably call it the capital of communist street violence in the United States of America because of how hands-off they are with groups like Antifa. Antifa is not only allowed to operate openly in Portland, Antifa oftentimes, it looks like they kind of exist with the cops' permission. That's what it looks like. It looks like, especially given the recent video, it looks like the Portland Police Department, of course, having been co-opted by the communists who call the shots there, it looks like the Portland Police Department protects Antifa from harm. And so, remember, just pause for a second, remember this. Always remember this about communism and communist revolutions and street animals. There are really never that many of them during the revolution phase. And during the revolution phase, all it takes to stop the revolution is just enforce the law. You don't have to do anything against your principles. You don't, if you simply enforce the law, find a criminal, throw handcuffs on him, get a judge that will actually keep him in jail, try him, convict him, throw him in a cage for 10 years. You don't have to do that very long. You don't even have to do that often. And the communist movement is, boom, stopped, snuffed out, eliminated completely. We actually did this. Pause. I'm going to sidetrack for just a moment. I'm going to sidetrack on this. I'll come back to it. We did this with the Weather Underground radicals in the 60s, 70s. There was this violent communist movement in the country. They were killing cops. They were rising up. They were very clear. They were trying the Antifa thing years ago. What happened? Boom, they slammed into our institutions, which hadn't been conquered by the communists yet. Arrests, trials, convictions, prison, gone, eliminated. Movement done. Done. It doesn't take much to actually stop it. But back to Portland, modern day. If you don't stop it, it will grow. And it will grow, and it will grow, and it will grow, and it can grow to a level where it's very, very difficult to stop it. Because the more hands-off you are, the more you let them go, the more you let the animals do animal things, it will attract more animals. It'll make the current animals more animalistic, more rabid. The more hands-off you are, you're in trouble. As I've said so many times before, you cannot be laissez-faire with communism. You cannot live and let live with communism. You have to smash it with your fist immediately, and you will win. If you try to be hands-off with it, if you try to turn the other cheek with it, they're going to dominate you and destroy you and kill you. In Portland, it is the greatest example of this. They have simply allowed these people to do whatever they want. Antifa has safe houses in Portland. Wrap your mind around that. You know what a safe house is. Anyone who's ever read a book or watched a spy movie knows exactly what a safe house is. It's always someplace cool like Prague, right? Or maybe it's about terrorism and you're in Beirut. But what happens? You have to escape and you get back to a safe house, a place where nobody knows that's where you're hiding out, but you hide out there and there's food and water and weapons and things like that. Antifa has those in Portland. Did you know that? Safe houses. It's crazy. The Trump administration has had enough of these animals surrounding ICE facilities, protesting, blocking ICE, putting their hands on federal officers. And so they have surged federal forces into Portland because the communists who run Portland, including their police chief, are not going to do anything to stop this. They are now working hand in hand with Antifa. All right, we got all that. Well, there's video of this. Don't worry. Again, don't worry if you haven't seen any of this, but there's video of this Antifa mob, and they're screaming at these officers who are in tactical gear. And there's one guy who comes right out, and boy, does he look bold, and he looks brave. He's in the crowd, and he runs right out in front, and he sticks up. I think it was two middle fingers. It was at least one middle finger right in their faces. Yeah, what are you going to do, cops? But then he takes it a little too far. I think he dumped red paint on him or something like that. And boom, too bad, so sad. Not the Portland Police Department anymore. Now you're dealing with the Trump feds. He is soon on his face. He is in handcuffs. He is being dragged into a federal facility. Okay, that was what happened. The next video you see, and you can go watch it if you'd like, Mr. Brave is sitting by himself in a chair. He's sitting against the wall. And all that bravado is gone. Not only is all that bravado gone, this tubby little dork is sitting by himself now in federal custody against a chair or against a wall, probably facing 5-10 years in prison, I would guess. He's sitting there and he's shaking like a leaf. He is so afraid. He's shaking like a leaf. Talking about his battles with depression. Talking, just a scared, broken little boy. Went from being 10 feet tall and bulletproof to being a scared, broken little boy facing a very, very ugly future, probably in a federal penitentiary somewhere. Now, what happened? What happened? We're talking minutes. I don't have an exact timeline, but I would guess 30 minutes, maybe an hour, from a man so brave he's sticking his middle finger up in the face of federal officers to a man so afraid he's sitting there talking, I'm depressed. What about my First Amendment? Please don't hurt me anymore. What happened there? We'll talk about that as it pertains not only to what's happening now to Kyle Rittenhouse. I'll answer the question and then we'll dig into so much more tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. Before we dig into any of that, I want to talk about the dead food your dog eats. My dog eats. What color? What color is your dog's food? I'm going to guess. Just look, I'm gonna have one guess, see if I'm right. Is it brown? Oh, it is? Why is it brown? In nature, what things are brown? Things that are dead. Leaves in the fall. That's the color they turn. The desert. It's brown. Why? Because there's nothing living in it. Your dog's food is the same. Live things are green. Rough Greens is the number one dog supplement in America. It's green. It's a powder. It's a supplement. You sprinkle it on your dog's food so your dog can, for the first time in its life, get vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and probiotics. Your dog will live longer. You will see less scratching, better breath, shinier coat. It's just, it's miraculous. Give your dog nutrition. Free Jumpstart trial bags at roughgreens.com with the promo code Jesse. Or call 214-ROUGH-DOG. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. And as Dr. Jesse Friday, are you happy to be here?
Can I get a witness?
I'm happy too. Back to what we were discussing. We were discussing Antifa in Portland and the federal surge. And the guy asked about, hey, Kyle Rittenhouse, why were they chasing him? He had a gun. But back to the Antifa story. How did this fat little boy go from flipping a middle finger to federal troops to shaking like a leaf, talking about his depression in the corner? The mob. Crowds. The mob. You have felt it before in your life, possibly, probably in positive ways. Why are concerts so much fun? You've been to a concert in your life at some point. Why are they fun? Let's be frank about this. The music sounds like crap. So don't say it's the music. It's not the music. Music sounds way better through speakers, having been recorded, rehearsed over and over again in a studio where they nail every note, every single line. Music sounds way better in your car, at home, with your headphones. Way better than it ever will sound live. I went to see Billy Joel a few years ago live here in Houston, Texas, and the acoustics were so bad you couldn't make out a single word. It was the worst sounding concert I've ever seen in my life. Had a blast. Why is a concert fun? The crowd. They're with you. They're singing with you. You are with other people. It is powerful. And it is palpable, the crowd. Communist mobs always work like this, in the opposite way. They attract broken people. Broken, lost people. Drugged out, bad home life, violent, perverts. You name it. The shattered, broken people. They see a crowd. They see a cause and they go join it. And for even a moment in front of an ICE facility, you feel brave. You have a cause. You go from being a broken little dork with no future to being a warrior for a cause. And soon you're sticking your middle finger up in a federal officer's face and throwing paint on him. And you are all powerful. After all, look behind me. All my friends are here. What are you going to do? These are the street animals who are recruited by communists. And it's why I have said before, yes, these people have to be arrested, smashed, thrown into prison, no question. Arrest them, try them, throw them in prison. Has to be done. You have to get them off the streets. You have to break up these mobs. But there's a guy named John Mullins. Have you ever heard of John Mullins? Most people have not. Maybe you have if you're a military freak. John Mullins was one of these guys, Vietnam veteran, soldier of fortune. That's John Mullins. That was his thing. Anyway, he was MACV SOG in Vietnam. As you know, we've already discussed MACV SOG a million times. Green Berets, Navy SEALs, behind enemy lines, going back there, doing recon, killing communists. Eventually, he chooses to move from MACV SOG to being part of the Central Intelligence Agency's Phoenix program. This is going to tie back to what I'm talking about. Trust me. Why does he leave? He's asked, why does he leave MACV SOG to go be part of the Phoenix program? Because the Phoenix program, they were tracking down the leaders of the communist insurrection and arresting them sometimes, other times just flat out killing them, assassinating them. Why did he leave? And in his words, I'm paraphrasing, he said, I got tired of killing the snuffies who were sent to go die for a cause they didn't understand. I wanted to go kill the evil people who were sending the snuffies out. See what he was saying? I don't want to kill any more 20-year-old communists who don't know their butt from a hole in the ground. I want to go find the leader who does know, who's finding and recruiting that 20-year-old. I want to find him and make him pay. Donald Trump and others in the administration have very correctly said when it comes to Antifa and Trantifa and all these violent animals that they intend to track down the funders, the organizers. Understand, that's where the real evil is. Yes, I'm not making excuses for the street animals, but they are broken people who need your prayers and a prison sentence. The evil people who are recruiting the broken people, those are the ones who should be completely removed from society with life sentences in prison. If you dedicate your life to recruiting broken people and deploying them like an army to the destruction of the United States of America, you should be thrown in a dark cage for the rest of your life. The real evil is in the funders. The real people, the real animals, you think it's Antifa? And I know they're bad. The real animals are in limousines. They're on private jets. They have big fat bank accounts. They know exactly what they're doing. They know why they're doing it. And they go grab the mentally broken goober and they give him a cause and they give him a baton and they give him whatever and they deploy him out and they watch him get handcuffs. In the meantime, they're eating steak somewhere in a 5-star hotel. Those are the people who have to burn. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about this. Let's talk briefly a little bit more about this shutdown stuff. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you delivered with all the questions, so let's chop away at it. There's no way I'm going to get to all of them. There's 100 good ones. There's 200 good ones. It was amazing how many came in. Let's do this one really quick, though, because it's about the shutdown and illegals and what's going on. And, you know, Elizabeth Warren had this meltdown today on CBS. It's a little long, but I'll probably play most of it. Here's how it went.
Or as they put it, illegal aliens. I know that's not strictly true, but there is a provision.
Not strictly true.
It's not true directly, but
it is a flat-out lie. It is a flat-out lie.
The way that they frame it.
There is nothing in Medicaid, there is nothing in Medicare that permits one undocumented immigrant to get $1 of assistance.
Okay, let me read an email because I'm going to explain how this works. Again, these are the games they play. And you've heard people say, especially in the last 24, 48 hours, that money's fungible. We're going to discuss what that means. Here's one from Massachusetts. Pay attention. Jesse, I'm a registered nurse in Massachusetts. the Trump administration recently cut federal dollars going to states to reimburse for illegals. They are also making states report everyone getting Massachusetts health disability in the state. If they are not legal, it will be immediately gone. Massachusetts is panicking, trying to pass emergency funding to make up for the federal dollars being gone. All right, now let me explain what that means in case you didn't get it. Let's say I live in a communist state like Massachusetts, which it's just criminal. We let them take Massachusetts. Anyway, let's say I live in a communist state like Massachusetts. As you know, I'm not going to go over it again. We don't have time tonight. I've gone over it 1,000 times. Illegal immigration is central to every communist plan. They have to replace you. It's everything to them. They want to bring in as many illegals as they can and keep them here and pay them to stay here because they're buying their loyalty and crowding out the patriots. You got all that. So the Massachusetts state government, which is full-blown communist, here's how it works. These illegals, they do pay them from their state funds. They pay for their health care. That's how it works. They pay for their health care. But states, unlike the federal government, have limits on how much they can spend because they can't print money. There are limits on it, meaning they can't just do this without end. They can only do this if the federal government will then stroke them a check for the check they already wrote. So the state is able to take $100. It's a lot more than that. The state is able to take $100 from the state's treasury and hand that money to an illegal. But then the state says, hey, I'm $100 short. Hey, federal government, can you give me $100? I had to pay $100 to someone else. And the federal government has been, since it's been run by the Biden communists, has been saying, sure, here's $100. Now, did the federal government pay directly for that illegal's health care? No, the federal government didn't. It simply reimbursed Massachusetts for expenses it incurred over time. But in the end, you know exactly what is happening. Massachusetts pays for illegals. The federal government pays Massachusetts, thus giving Democrats what is known as plausible deniability. Hey, we're not calling for you to fund illegals and their health care. We just want some reimbursement over here. Oh, reimbursement? Reimbursement for what now? That's why the Trump administration, instead of just stroking a check to these states now, that's why they're saying, okay, oh, we'll get you a check. But I'm going to need a detailed accounting on where your money, where did that $100 go before you get $100 from me? J.D. Vance touched on it a little
bit. If you're an American citizen, you've been to a hospital in the last few years, you probably noticed that wait times are especially large. And very often somebody who's there in the emergency room waiting is an illegal alien, very often a person who can't even speak English. Why do those people get healthcare benefits at hospitals paid for by American citizens?
Because the blue states pay for them. The blue states pay for them out of the state treasury and then expect federal reimbursement. People have often wondered, how do these states, how does California survive? How does New York survive? How does Massachusetts survive with these endless billions of dollars of entitlements and giveaways and all these other things? And don't get me wrong, a lot of these states aren't surviving. They're way underwater. That's why they're jacking up your fees and jacking up your taxes. But they would have collapsed a long, long, long time ago if you and me, the federal taxpayer, hadn't been writing them checks for the insane things they do. The Trump administration is doing a lot of good things in this regard, cutting these states off. No, 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 no. No more federal taxpayer money. That's what's happening right now. And that's why Democrats are freaking out. They're trying for a win here. The Democrats are trying for any kind of a win here. And I have something to say. And I don't know that you're going to like it. And I don't know that I'm making a prediction here. I just have a concern, because here's my concern. We've discussed
negotiating before, right? You're going to be in negotiations in your life. You're maybe in the business world, maybe in your personal life, maybe you already have. But the starting position is so incredibly important in negotiations. As we've discussed, if I'm doing a business deal with Chris, which I would never, ever do because I would get swindled somehow. But let's say I'm doing a business deal with Chris because Chris wants to buy some jewelry from me. Chris wants to buy jewelry from me. Okay, not that I have any jewelry, but Chris wants to buy some. And I want $1 million for my jewelry. I don't go to Chris and say, hey, it's $1 million. I go to Chris and say, hey, it's $3 million, understanding that he's going to counter and my number, whatever first number I give him is going to go down. Okay, you got that. That's basic business negotiation. Now let's go to what's happening right now with the shutdown. The Republicans right now have taken the stance that we just want to continue what we've been doing. No cuts to anything, no nothing. Let's just continue what we've been doing. Democrats are saying, hey, no, we need more from you. Give us more money. Give us more money. So Republicans are trying to just kick the can down the road. Republicans essentially are trying to be neutral here. Just do another CR. Democrats are asking for something, a big something. I could absolutely see. Chris, go ahead and write this one down. I could absolutely see Republicans caving somewhat and giving them something. Will it be everything they ask for? Of course not. But in the end, who wins if that happens? If the Republicans give them one extra penny, then in the end, Democrats will have won because they asked for something and Republicans haven't asked for a single thing. That sounds like Democrats have a much better starting point in this negotiation. Now, if Republicans negotiate from here at all, they lose. That's not good, is it? Just remember I said that. Just put that one in your back pocket, if you will. All right. Somebody wants to talk a little bit more about this post-Charlie Kirk assassination and what people are doing around that. We'll discuss that in a moment. And then we're going to discuss, got a great question from a kid, 8-year-old girl, the origins of communism. How'd this thing get rolling? We'll discuss that. Before we do that, let's discuss what's most important. What is most important? I'll tell you, like in my family, for instance. We will give each other gifts, on birthdays and Christmas, just like you do. Just they're gifts. Sorry, Chris, Hanukkah. But we'll give each other gifts in the holidays. But we have made it known in our family that that is not a priority. That for instance, hog hunting, that was a gift to my sons that in place of something else. It was a gift. Why? Because memories are way more important than the next toy, the next video game, the next gun, the next whatever you like. Memories are everything. Legacy Box is a gift your family will enjoy forever. Get your pictures digitized, your videos digitized. Generations of your family you will never meet, they want these. Man, what would you give to sit down right now with your great-grandpa and watch his memories? Look at his life. Legacy Box is that gift. Do it. They'll hand-digitize your memories and send you your pictures back. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, Play and Heard out here. Before I get back to the questions, so I've got a little thing going on at the house. Got a little problem, if you will. I am not a, I'm not a big shopping person, as you probably are well aware. I'm just not a big shopping person. And if I ever do shop for something, it's almost always an impulse buy, meaning it's something I haven't put any thought into at all. Because once I think about it too much, I talk myself out of it. I don't want to spend the money. So I'm an impulse buyer, but I don't do that often either. But I impulse bought something the other day, and I'm not sure it's working out. Here's what I impulse bought. I found this battery pack. All right, it's a battery pack. I love this kind of, you know, survival gadget stuff. I'm a dude, all right? It's a battery pack. It's, I would say, the size of a book, size of maybe a hardcover book. So what's special about it? Obviously, you charge it up. It's a battery pack. But then you can take things like your phone or headphones or something like that, and you just throw them on it, and it automatically, through some kind of battery thing, it automatically starts charging whatever you throw on it. And whatever you throw on it will magnetize to it, and it just starts charging it. You with me? So I told Ob about it, and she said, well, what are you going to do with that? And I didn't have really a good explanation. So I tried to go with right away. What, Chris? What? Chris said, when the power goes out. See, I wished I'd thought of that, but I mean, we don't lose power a lot. And we do have a generator. But I said, well, we could charge our stuff. And she said, we already have cords to charge our stuff. Why do we need this? To which I said, well, what about if we're on a road trip? If we're going somewhere, then I'll put it in the center console. We'll just throw our stuff on there and I'll charge it. And she said, we have cords in the car too. And I changed the subject pretty quickly. But my battery pack gets there today. And I really have to find a way to justify this purchase today. And I'm not 100% sure that I know exactly how to do that. My best, the best thing I can think of is, I think I'll put it in front of us if we're you know, watching a game or something like that. I think I'll put it on a table in front of us and just lean down and throw my phone on it really quickly and then look at her. I think, what, Chris? What? Chris said put it with all the hurricane prep stuff, like my go bag. But you don't understand. She finds my go bag stuff to be ridiculous too. She was completely scornful when I bought the clean water straws. And I said, no, you don't understand. We can drink clean water now out of anything. And she said, why would we need that? And I tried to explain that power outages happen and hurricanes happen. Why do you need more ammunition? Well, what if it's a lot of guys that I have to kill? And she just looks at me and with these looks of scorn, like it's not necessary. And I really feel the need to justify this purchase, and I'm just not sure 100% how to justify the purchase. And I don't even know why I told you that. Let's get back to the questions. Jesse, I was listening to you earlier today, and you mentioned the pastor that put AI words in Charlie Kirk's mouth and how it makes you feel a little bit creeped out. I am finding myself feeling creeped out just watching videos that people were posting of him at rallies and college campuses. I think it creeps me out because it seems like people are trying to cash in on him after his assassination. What do you think? His name is Grady. Here's what I think. I think, first, it is good to honor and remember martyrs. It is good. It's a good thing. I also think this. In, let's just call this what it is, radio, podcasting, TV, social media. Let's call it a less glamorous version of show business. That's what it is. You know, I don't have a job anymore. I used to have a job. This isn't a job. People want to be famous. They want to be famous. They want to be known. They want to make a bunch of money. These are very common human desires. And there are a lot of people in this business too, who will say and do anything to be a star. Anything. Absolutely anything. And if you have any discernment at all, and I'm sure you do, you probably have figured out some of these people already, wait a minute, that doesn't seem genuine. He doesn't seem genuine. She doesn't seem genuine. You've already seen this. You've already noticed this. In the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, I have noticed what you have noticed, where it feels like oftentimes it goes beyond honoring the man and honoring his work. It now has become, hey, let me draft off of his death so I can get more famous, so I can get richer, so I can get this, I can get that. Just use your discernment. You can sniff this stuff out. I have noticed what you've noticed. I am grossed out by it too. But I also understand this. No matter what the cause, it does not matter what the cause is. Up, down, left, right, religion, it doesn't matter what the cause is. Whenever there are large groups of people joining something, anything, there will be bad people who try to get involved and use it to enrich themselves. It's just the way it is. It's the way it's always been. I have noticed it. It does feel gross. I expected it anyway. I'm not in the least bit shocked. It's the way it is. It's the way people are. I don't know what to tell you. I will tell you this, though. Replacing bad people at your company has never been easier. It's been a nightmare in recent years for employers trying to find good people. And now we're going into the fall, where businesses are boning up for Halloween, Christmas season. Hey, I need a temporary employee. I need somebody full-time. But it's so difficult. And you don't have months, right? You need people next week. You need people in the door. What do you do to find good people fast? That's what ZipRecruiter does. Finds you good people fast. And not by dumping a box of 10,000 resumes on your desk saying, we found some, good luck. They have this powerful matching technology. Not surface level. They do a deep dive into the top talent to put the best people in front of you fast. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse and try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. All right? Stop stressing it. Now, got a wonderful question about the origins of communism. That, food, history, so much more to come on The Jesse Kelly Show. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.